And welcome to your extended news at noon as we continue our time together. On the phone with me is Diane Marburger. And of course, she's the Butler County Treasurer. And what we're going to talk about for the next few minutes is something that it's been around for some time now. Although now that we're in this pandemic, I don't think any of us really thought about. And it's about nonprofits doing fundraisers online that technically can be considered illegal. And it surrounds the small games of chance laws. And so, Diane, first of all, thank you very much for being here. I do appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me.
Now, I understand your position is to see if applicants for the small games of chance license are eligible. So I understand that. I know you're not here to give legal advice. I know you're not here to hand out penalties, and I understand that. But since you're in this circle of this issue, would you be able to shed some light on what is happening right now for nonprofits, even in our own area, and what they're trying to do online and how that can be considered illegal?
Oh, absolutely. Because of the COVID-19, there are many raffles that can't be held the way they used to be held, which was in person, as well as the sale of tickets in person, where someone would pay cash or provide a check to the nonprofit for the purchase of those raffle tickets. So now that, you know, face-to-face is not frowned upon, they have resorted to other means to try to maintain the revenue flow from their small games of chance activities. And one of the ways that they're doing it is through this virtual raffle. Regrettably, for them, the Small Games of Chance Act falls under the gambling laws of Pennsylvania. And Pennsylvania does not permit the use of credit cards for gambling. For instance, if you go to a PA lottery machine and want to put in your Visa card to buy some scratch-off tickets, it's not going to work. You can't use that card. So when people advertise, they can do that online, that they're going to have a virtual raffle. They can have it that way, in the sense they can advertise it and they can say, we're going to conduct the raffle on our drawing date. They can live stream it. And they should also always invite the public the opportunity to come within the restrictions of the number for the gathering, with COVID-19 requirements. They can do that, but what happened out east at the onset of November here, first part of the month.
And you're talking eastern Pennsylvania, like Schuylkill County.
That really alarmed us. The, like you said, I issue the license. I don't enforce the laws. I'm asked about them all the time because people want to run their raffles legally. So what happened out east is there lots of virtual raffles, lots of virtual, you know, online ticket sales were taking place. And this one particular organization in Schuylkill County was using PayPal and Venmo. Well, if you read their agreements when you sign up to use their online payment services,
the third-party payments,
payments, it says very clearly in that agreement that if you have to abide by this agreement, and part of it are prohibitive activities, which is if you violate any Pennsylvania law, statute, ordinance, or regulation, you're breaking the agreement.
So, Diane, let me ask you really quickly, is this a twofold problem, or does it come back to the same problem, which is using the third-party vendors, if you will, or services? Is there any way to do this kind of raffle ticket online without those third-party payments, but then it kind of wraps into what you just said a couple of minutes ago with that's not allowed anyway?
Right. The last time I talked to the LCE, the Liquor Control Enforcement Officer, who does this statewide, he said, do what you know is legal, which is selling raffle tickets and accepting cash or check. Don't even go to plastic at all. And you can order the tickets online, go through a website and say, I'd like to order tickets, and then send in your payment. Once the organization gets your payment, they mail out the tickets, or they can write in your name on that little stub, because you still have to have the typical 10-pack tickets with a stub stapled together, and you write the name on there, and you can email that to them, scan that in if they prefer that, because a lot of the organizations, they didn't want to have to mail the tickets back because there's envelope and
right.
and postage, and if you're selling, you know, a $5 raffle ticket or a $10 raffle ticket, once you go through, you know, it's just, and you're going to do a 50-50, you're slowly eating away at any profits you have to go towards the public works or the public interest project that you want to fund.
And I think an effort to do these things online is about simplicity, and all of a sudden the simplicity of this is out the door.
Right. And, you know, I know there are organizations in Butler County where their sales really skyrocketed because people are so used to just going out online and ordering whatever, mm-hmm. whether it's a raffle ticket or a toaster online. They just do it, and they pull out that credit card, and they pay for it. But what happened out east in Schuylkill County is somebody was selling raffle tickets, and PayPal came in and froze their account to the tune of $13,000+, because they said, you were doing illegal activities by selling these raffle tickets. That's considered gambling. You've broken our agreement, and they froze their account. So I would not want to see any nonprofit in Butler County get caught up in this and have their funds frozen in their bank account.
And the what we're talking about is with the small games of chance law, and specifically, this is the subsection that's called credit play, and that law became into effect, 2006. So this has been around for some time.
Yes.
I just don't think that any of us really haven't been in this situation to even consider it.
Right. And I did reach out to our local legislators, and I did hear back last week from Marcy Mostello, and they're trying to get the attention of the governor to do something to try to help these nonprofits at this time. So, and she also said she didn't give me the bill number, but there is a bill sitting in the Gaming Oversight Committee. It's in committee. Which is not a good place to be, because I understand the session ends on the 30th of November. We're in a short week to begin with, so I just don't think that's going to be feasible. So for any bill to go through the process that it needs to go through to get to the floor for a vote.
But it's good to know this now regardless, because even post-pandemic, I'm wondering how many
sure.
individuals would have started this process, thought it was a good idea, and then held on to that process post-pandemic.
Mm-hmm. Right. It is the future. We just have to figure out how to do it and make everybody happy with it. The credit card business is to try to help people who have an addiction to gambling, not to borrow money to gamble. And that's how this all falls under this one big, huge umbrella, even though, you know, most raffle tickets in Butler County, they might be $1, or they might be $10. They're not $100 at a clip where you buy 10 of them and you go into debt $1,000.
Right.
But so it's like a broad brush they're painting all of these activities with, when really they don't perhaps merit that broad brush to be applied to them. So somehow, some way, maybe just for small games of chance, they can loosen those requirements, those restrictions on the use of plastic. Because I know for sure, if they could do it that way, the nonprofits would definitely benefit from it.
And when you say nonprofits, can you remind us, those of us that aren't in business for ourselves and just don't even think about these things from day to day, can you remind us why this is focused on nonprofits? What's the difference between a for-profit and a nonprofit when you're talking about games of chance?
Okay. The law was created back in 1988, originally for volunteer fire companies and emergency services providers to raise money for that expensive equipment that they need to come and protect you and save your property if your house gets on fire. That was considered in the public interest. Your local fire company is going to come and put the fire out at your house no matter who you are, period. Then once they did that, other organizations said, well, we do good works, too, in the community. We want to be able to partake in this, and that's when your parent-run athletic leagues, you know, softball, soccer, you name it, the schools got involved because they do good works, too, with their money. Lots of organizations sell raffle tickets and conduct raffles for scholarships to provide for children, whether it's pursuing additional, you know, education or to scholarship them in the activity that they're providing that they otherwise would not be able to afford to participate. So it's all those sorts, schools, through the PTOs, all the boosters. They're clubs. They're the veterans, foreign wars, VFWs, and the American Legions. They hold liquor licenses. They got involved, and they hold a liquor license, and they're there for the veterans, social club, but they also do good works in their community. So they too can have, the license to conduct raffles, daily drawings, pull tabs, punch boards, night at the races, whatever is under the purview of this law. So it's anybody who is in existence to do something good for their community.
So if an organization is listening to you right now, can they just come to you and apply for the Small Games of Chance? And I'll follow up that question with, then can they hold these raffles online, or are they still in violation because of third-party services?
They can apply so long as they've been in existence for 1 year, and they have to have their articles of incorporation or their bylaws stating their purpose. What is their purpose? A lot of the athletics that come through here, they build young minds and bodies. They teach sportsmanship. They teach a commitment. So we're building young minds and bodies to make good citizens into the future. So long as these organizations have been in existence for 1 year, they can apply to this office as long as their purpose and their mission is for public interest.
And how much does that cost an organization to go through that process?
It's $125 if you want to be able to conduct some sort of game of chance, which includes raffles, drawings, punch boards, night at the races, those sorts of things.
Right. And how long does the process take? Because if somebody's listening right now and they think, well, I'll just get this in and we can start up next week. I mean, it's not that quick, is it?
Yeah.
I mean, you have a lot to do
well,
on your plate.
They need to, you know, get their IRS letter, you know, stating, you know, they have to file a 990, which is for nonprofits, and they have to then qualify, you know, through the IRS and have their IRS number. I always recommend that, you know, if they're considering themselves a charity, they should go online to the Department of State, Bureau of Charitable Organizations, and register at the state level. And then they have the commitment where they have to file their 990, because if you don't file your 990, you jeopardize that status, that 501c3 status or that 501 status, whatever other number might be. So long as you have all of your documentation, you've been in existence for a year, we can turn that around in pretty short order. It is good for 1 year from the date of issue. If you only want to do one event and you're going to do the whole thing within a 30-day period, there is a monthly license. It's $25. But what that means is you have your tickets printed and you hold your event within a 30-day period. You sell, you get them printed, you get them sold, and you get it drawn. That's only $25. But that puts a lot of pressure on the organization to get those ticket sales all said and done in such a short period of time that most organizations opt for the $125 license. That way, then that gives them the latitude to maybe hold two events in a year.
Yeah.
So,
and I just want to ask to clarify once again, because this is a lot of information, and if we didn't know it, like me, I'm sitting back thinking, okay, I'm trying to follow along. So just remind me once again, if I had a nonprofit organization and I had the Small Games of Chance license, could I then go online and do the raffle tickets?
You can advertise on your website, but you really cannot accept any kind of payment online.
Wow. This is a bigger issue, isn't it, than we really thought?
Yeah, it is a bigger issue. You know, the thing about this is before what happened in Schuylkill County, it was all on the law enforcement people. It was on the Pennsylvania State Police Liquor Control Enforcement officers that would come in and shut you down. But here, it was a third-party provider for online sales of, you know, through credit card that shut it down. It was not the Pennsylvania State Police. It was not the district attorney. It wasn't your local police. It wasn't the county treasurer, even though I don't have that. I really don't have that authority. It was PayPal and Venmo that shut it down.
And one more point of clarification, if you would, for us, because I know a lot of people may be mixing up the two concepts of how you use your credit card online for nonprofits. So I'll point out GoFundMe, not to pick on GoFundMe. It's just GoFundMe is an avenue where you can raise money and you can put a credit card in and that money goes to the beneficiary. You can do GoFundMe for anything. You don't have to be a nonprofit. But my point is how can we do that but not do the small games of chance, the raffles, and what we're talking about today?
GoFundMe is a donation. Small Games of Chance is I give you money for a chance to win something valued more than the ticket that I paid you for. That's gambling.
So is it a possibility for organizations right now to rethink what they're doing instead of doing raffles, maybe just going to GoFundMe or that kind of service to say, we need money for X, Y, and Z, we're raising money for it?
Absolutely. I've long thought that, you know, if you really like this organization, whatever they do,
yeah,
why don't you just write a check and give it to them? Why do you need a chance to win something for your money? Just give them, you know, give them a donation. You know, you can add up a lot of $10 donations, I think, through the GoFundMe. And then again, however, you have to be careful, and I've never done GoFundMe, but GoFundMe doesn't do it for free.
Right,
GoFundMe,
there's a small portion.
GoFundMe will take something out of there.
Yeah, and I'm not sure exactly what the percentage is, but if you're looking at how much, it's a very, I would say small, I guess that's perspective of each individual, but it's very small compared to what you're giving. But I guess I bring it up because if organizations are hearing us talk right now and they think we have no idea what to do because we've always done it this way, you know, in the past,
maybe it's
a point of conversation where they need to shift their thinking a little bit on how they get funds into their organization.
Right. No, yes, I hear you completely on that. It's all different. It's just the way the law is written right now. We're all trying to grapple with how can we keep these nonprofits afloat when they rely, especially the fire companies.
Right.
You know, the fire companies are essential to all communities. You need to have the equipment and the equipment that's up to date and functioning right. And those fire engines and all the garb they have to wear, they have to be good. They have to be in excellent condition to protect the firefighters. So it's really it's quite the conundrum. I know they got some money recently, some funding, all the fire companies in Butler County, but I don't think it really plugs the hole completely for them when it comes to some of the small games of chance. And I would, you know, also say that the same may very well be said for the VFWs and the American Legions, because they do raise a lot of money through their social clubs that they then give away to various causes, and they also can use, the law was changed a few years back, where they can retain, I believe it's up to 40% of the proceeds for maintaining their facilities. If they need to put a new roof on their VFW or their American Legion building, or whatever they may need for their memberships. The legislators did open the law, and it was back in about 2012 to 2014, where they said, okay, you can hold on to some of this money, but you got to tell us what you're going to use it for. And the remaining money needs to go back into the community, and lots of them use it for, like, scholarships.
It's a year that it just feels like we're always going back to the drawing board. So it just feels like this is another thing that we, if we have a nonprofit organization, need to go back and rethink how we do what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Diane,
yes.
Marburger, the county treasurer, Butler County treasurer. Diane, I appreciate your time. It's an interesting conversation, something we haven't thought of before. So I'm glad the information came our way so we could get you on the air and talk about it. So thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Have a good day.